Hello, I'm Karen O'Connor, a consultant speech and language therapist, and this is the Karen O'Connor podcast, part of openingyourmind.com. Openingyourmind.com is my website where I share my extensive knowledge and unique pieces of the jigsaw approach so that your child can achieve their greatest potential over the shortest period of time. We blend up-to-the-minute speech and language therapy techniques with sensory integrative techniques, including sound therapy, which will be impacting on the neuroplasticity of the brain, so that your child can achieve their greatest potential quickly and easily. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to subscribe to ensure that you don't miss future podcast episodes. And if you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast. The more ratings and reviews we get, the more people this podcast will reach, as iTunes and other podcast apps start to recommend it to people like you. Thank you so much. Looking forward to talking to you. I'm delighted to be here today in London to introduce my next expert, which is Dr. William Shaw. He is the director of Great Plains Laboratories in the States. He's a leading biochemist and is board certified in the areas of clinical chemistry and toxicology. I'm delighted today to be able to introduce Dr. William Shaw. And so what are you finding is causing the difficulties? What are you seeing and what testing are you doing to find what's causing the challenges?
Yeah, so we're using the most sensitive and most advanced medical technology to learn what are all the different molecules in the body that can affect behavior. And what we see is that when every molecule in the body has to be in an exact range for the body to function. So it's the Goldilocks story.
Yes.
Applied to science.
Yes.
So it can't be too hot, too cold. It has to be just right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking at the things that aren't just right. And in virtually everything we look at, if it's not right, we can make it right. So it's not, we're not involved in some dismal science to say this is what is going to harm your child forever. We're looking at solutions, and for everything that we do, we attempt to find a solution. And 99.9% of the things we find, there is some solution.
Oh yeah, and isn't that so promising? It's so reassuring for parents who are finding it hard to hold on to the hope. That you're seeing on the other end, from a biochemical point of view, where you're looking at the causes, looking at trying to get the pieces right, that there's so much hope there.
So that's the thing. And I remember starting at the Children's Hospital, and was where I first got interested in this. So about more than 25 years ago, and saw that. That many of the standard things were done weren't really helpful to parents. They were more like cataloging the children rather than contributing to their to them getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a sense of frustration that I thought with a bit of ego that I can do better than this.
Yes.
I can do much better than this. And I have. I have many, some of the most rewarding things are the comments that I've gotten from parents whose children have done very well after using our services.
It's amazing. And when you talk about your services, what does your service involve?
It's very simple. The parents get their physician to send in some blood, urine, stool, saliva, and then we test it. We find out what things are off, and then we send a very detailed report. report of all the possibilities mm-hmm. that this mm-hmm. that the abnormal results indicate, okay. and they're able to get a consultation mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with the laboratory to find out what's going on.
And it's interesting because I've seen some of those reports because uh-huh. I have lots of parents who've been involved maybe with Dr. Bernie McDonald or other integrative practitioners in Ireland yeah. who've sent off samples to Great Plains Laboratories, got the results back, and I mean the information is so detailed, it's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal, and so it's challenging, which is why we provide the consultations. And so I think that's one of the most important things that we do. The numbers themselves aren't nearly as important as giving the information of what needs to be done now. Yes. And we give the information to both the physician and the parents.
Okay, great. And in terms of the tests that you do, because I know you mentioned there about a blood test, a stool sample, I know there's different tests yeah. that you do. Can you tell us a little bit about the tests? I know there's lots of them.
There's the core one that would be a single test that the test in which the company was started called the organic acid test, which is like a profile of all the different biochemical mm-hmm. systems in the body. And so it's like a snapshot in time of what is going on with that particular individual at a point in time. If a person is very sick, you will find that there's a consistency. So if you tested a sample in the today or tomorrow, the next day, it would be very likely that it would be very, the results would not be exactly alike, but they would be similar.
Very similar. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's one of your main tests. But as you say, you've got a lot of different tests.
Yeah.
Yes. And so really it's about people going to the... They can look you up, find out more about Great Plains Laboratories, and then contact a physician in their area to look at doing the testing.
Yeah.
From your point of view, what are the red flags the parents should be looking out for? So if their child is presenting with developmental challenges, maybe speech challenges, communication, interaction, mm-hmm. motor, whatever it may be, or a combination of some of those, what would be the things, the indicators that they should be looking for to indicate that there may be a biomedical piece or biochemical that they should be looking into further?
So any of the standard milestones that a family physician or pediatrician mm-hmm. may look at, mm-hmm. if they're off, if their weight is too low, if their height is much smaller than normal, if they're very delayed in walking.
Yes.
And one of the biggest things is talking. So you do expect that by a certain age, there's been the development of speech. And even though there's a few exceptions, I think the one that's always brought up is Einstein talking until he was
five or six.
Yes. The vast majority of children, if they don't meet that milestone, this is where the biggest mistake is, starting to look for a label.
No, I don't.
And instead of doing that, the parent needs to find out. There's always a reason for that, and they need to start looking for them. And some of the most common things, I mentioned the organic acid test, which is a simple urine test.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on that test, there are many other more advanced tests that may be pointed to that the child needs based on that first test, which Great Plains also has for the more advanced test. And another thing that's extremely important is the food the child's eating. So food allergy mm-hmm. Our food sensitivity is an extremely common cause of problems with children. And some of the parental groups were responsible for finding that out. For a minute, the Feingold Association in the United States talked about food colors and food additives being a problem for children. And it's absolutely true. And it took probably 25 or 30 years before large studies, medical studies, confirmed what they had been saying for years. And so that's an extremely common thing, with some of the worst being the most common foods that that kids eat, the milk, wheat, and eggs are some of the most common sensitivities. And so it's very easy to find out. It just requires a little small amount of blood, and that is by far one of the most common major problems that children have, and most common causes of are contributing factors in hyperactivity of children, and children with on the autism spectrum, and even children with seizure disorders. A very high percentage have these sensitivities to food, and it's such a simple test, and it's very simple to interpret. If a child has an extreme sensitivity to a particular food, you need to change the foods that the child is eating. And so the idea is simple. The implementation does take some work.
No, I know.
It's very it's very useful. Other things to look at are picky eating. Picky eating is very common in different developmental disorders. And what I found, the most common reason is a deficiency of zinc. And so that can be easily tested in the blood, and that children who only eat one or two or three foods and don't want anything else, many times have had the experience of talking to parents and recommending the zinc supplementation. And I see them in the future, and they say now the child eats everything that's put in front of them.
So isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So it's a very simple treatment, but can be so effective for so many different children.
It's interesting, because in my speech therapy clinic, that's exactly what I see, what you're describing, is that, you know, children are coming in looking like they may be presenting with intolerances or allergies of some description. They'd be very pale, grey patches under the eyes, kind of foggy brain, kind of tuning in, tuning out, connecting one minute and then not connecting the next, and, you know, are very active or not active enough, you know, so a whole combination. And then once you start to send off the samples to yourselves and to look in more detail at what's going on, and look at the diet, as you said, the diet is huge. And people talk a lot about, you know, going for the gluten-free and casein-free diet, that it's maybe a good thing to do, to try and develop that clean gut, because there's that whole kind of gut brain connection. So that whole intolerance end of things, and you can look at that via, as you say, a simple blood sample. Okay, so that's fantastic.
And we also have a urine test. The urine test is specifically for wheat and milk. So it's not as good. So it's not quite as good as the blood test. We can check for sensitivity to every food. So even though milk, wheat, and eggs are the most common allergies, I mean, you do have exceptions. There may be some children who might have a sensitivity to beef, even though it's much more rare.
Okay.
It could be in that person that's a major factor. So we've seen it from the disorders that are relatively mild up into children having the hallucinations also being triggered by just the main factor was being exposed to the foods that they had sensitivity to.
Yeah, and as you say, it's just something so simple.
Yes.
But instead of looking for a label, which of course we're naturally drawn to do, because that's almost, I suppose, what the system is nearly telling us to do. You need to find a label for this.
Yeah.
So instead, as you say, you need to find the cause. Yeah. Once you find the cause, you're in a much better position to tackle and resolve what's happening for your child.
Yeah, before there was time for a diagnosis. Because I've seen so many parents where the child is 5 or 6 and they haven't done anything all this time is because they're confused because different experts say, oh no, this is hyperactivity. And the other one says, no, it's pervasive developmental disorder. Or, oh no, I think it's this. And it's such a waste of time.
No, I know. Kind of getting stuck on the label or finding the label.
Yeah.
Whereas in reality, even if you find a label, it doesn't change anything.
It doesn't change. It's not going to. It's not going to help the child.
No, you've just got a label now.
Yeah, you've got a label that, and you've wasted this early time. What I found is the earlier you can start in these treatments, the better. If you suspect there's some problems when the child is 1 year old, you can start this, or even parents who say, I've had parents say the 6-month-old child, he's not making eye contact.
Yes,
can find these abnormalities in the baby. Mm-hmm, so there's no, mm-hmm. We can do these tests on a 1-day-old baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's phenomenal because when you think of a lot of testing that's out there, it's often, you have to wait till the child is 2 or 3 and all this kind of thing. But as you say, from day one, you can find out exactly what's going on.
You can find out a lot of information, amount of information.
Okay.
Yes.
And tell me, I know you have helped thousands upon thousands of families, children and adults, achieve their potential. What are the results? What kind of results are you seeing? What do you see changes? What do you...
You can see every possible change. So from children with severe autism becoming completely normal and completing college working independently and becoming married and we've been doing this long enough that we see
the
long term
benefits.
And these were children who were so severe that their neurologist had said you should have just put them in an institution and forgotten them. From that to being able to complete college independently,
it is fantastic, isn't it? Let me just see now. We're covering a lot. What do you do? What are the tests? Medical referral required. Is a medical referral required to contact yourself?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it's not, but it is recommended.
Okay.
Because
okay.
once you get this testing, but we realize that in some areas of the world, there may not be a good enough resource or the local physician may be too busy to say, well, I don't want to learn this new stuff.
Yes.
And so in those cases, we give the consultation and give suggestions on how they can do it. And if there is a need for medication, then we can refer them to other physicians. And if there's not someone in the area, some cases the parents may have to travel to a place where there is a physician that's knowledgeable about the treatments and that happens. So early on, I found that the best thing the parent can do is the comprehensive testing. I myself was, at the beginning was unsure. Well, what do I recommend straight off?
Yes.
And so I had a family from Istanbul who contacted me. The father was a celebrity in Istanbul, and I told him that he could access this testing remotely using the delivery services. He didn't have to bring the child to Kansas where our laboratory was located. He could just send, he said, no, I want to come. And so he came with his wife and his, child who was around 3 or so at the time. And so that was the question he asked. Well, which ones? Well, I said, you may want to start with one or two. And he became extremely angry. He said, I didn't come all the way from Istanbul to... And he opened our test catalog. He said, I want all the tests in the book. And that was the best thing to do. So he ordered all the tests in the book. We got the results back, and we gave him our recommendations. He had a number of relatives who were physicians in Turkey. And after sending all the recommendations, by the way, his child had abnormalities in virtually every test. And at that time, it was around 10 tests. And 6 months later, I got the word that his child was now recovered. And then probably 12 years later, he brought his teenage son to the laboratory in Kansas, and the son walked up and shook my hand and thanked me for the work when he was a child. Yes. So he was completely now functional. So it was very rewarding to see the difference.
I have to say, I see it so much in the clinic as a speech therapist. If the biomed is an issue, unless it's addressed, it's very difficult for me to do anything.
That's right. Yeah, no. So all these behavioral therapy, the applied behavior analysis, ABA, and speech therapy, all these kinds of therapies work the best once the child has the underlying biochemical abnormalities addressed.
And it's great, I think, for all professions to know that, isn't it? The biomedical or biochemical end of things is a major building block. It's a foundation piece.
Yes.
Because, I'm thinking it comes back to that whole, gut-brain connection. Mm-hmm. That if there's something going on with the gut, if there's something going on with the biochemistry, it's impacting on brain function. Yes. Or it has the potential to do that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the first things that I had found at the Children's Hospital. So the testing we provided was ordered by every specialty at the Children's Hospital, the gastroenterologist, the psychiatrist, the neurologist, the people in immunology, the people in the kidney clinic. So all of them ordered the same testing, and as a result of that, what I noticed is that in a very high percentage of the sick children, there were much higher values of chemicals from the microorganisms in the intestinal tract, and so developed a suspicion that the abnormal intestinal flora was affecting many illnesses, if not most illnesses, was an underlying factor. And so for really the rest of my career has been expanding that initial insight to showing that in fact it was correct. So a huge variety of illnesses are due to the abnormal intestinal flora, which means the different microorganisms in the intestinal tract. And they do that because these microorganisms produce chemicals in the intestine that then travel into the bloodstream and eventually get into the brain and alter the function of the brain.
Because that was something I was amazed at, is that some of these chemicals have the potential to cross the blood-brain barrier.
Yes.
Okay, that's quite frightening, really, isn't it? In terms of what it can do. And then at the same time, I suppose in terms of reversing what these biochemical difficulties are causing, there's great potential there to reverse them.
So one of the particular episodes that was very telling and very rewarding was a child with severe autism who was being treated at 3 years old, mm-hmm. and the child had no speech at all, did not understand or didn't seem to understand speech, and there wasn't, you know, if the parents told them something, there was no reaction from the child, and had a lot of self-hurtful behavior, mm-hmm. and it was found that the child had mold in the intestinal tract, you know, the same kind of black stuff that grows on your wall sometimes if you've had a leak in the in the ceiling and the rain came in, and so he was treated by a Dr. Baker in Connecticut, based on our testing, and within 6 weeks, the child had completely recovered from. So one of the, it really was the fastest recovery. Went from having extremely severe autism, mm-hmm. to having no symptoms. Had gone back to developing speech, showing affection to the parents. Matter of fact, the father had a worried look, and the son came up and patted him on the knee and said, "You don't need to worry about me anymore, Dad. I'm completely recovered." As a 3-year-old.
Yes, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
But I have to say, I see that all the time in the clinic. That, you know, children coming in who, you know, and not all on the spectrum, a whole range of different difficulties, but kind of tuning in, tuning out, speech is slow to get going, can be difficult to get that connection, and it may not be lasting. But once the biomedical end of things is addressed, you start to see a different child emerging, for the most part.
Yes.
And then you really have something to work with.
Oh, yes.
Then our techniques really work. Mm-hmm. You know, and particularly the sound therapy, which I use, which I just find really kind of fast tracks everything.
Yeah.
Once, you know, kind of that gut's in a good place, the brain's in a good place, now we can really make everything mm-hmm. move even faster. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I have to say, thank you so much for meeting with us today, because I just feel for parents, this is going to be so reassuring.
Yeah.
And there are so many parents that don't know what's happening. They don't know that there's this very sensitive testing.
Yeah.
Because often parents would say to me, you know, well, I mentioned it to, you know, my GP or my MD, and he said, oh, don't worry, it's fine, or, you know, it's just the stage he's at, or whatever it is. But as you said, there's more detailed, very sensitive testing there that can be done. If you've got concerns, that what they really need to do is to either find a practitioner who's using Great Plains Laboratories, or to look up Great Plains Laboratories altogether.
Right, yeah.
What is your website? What exactly is your
It's very simple. Yeah. The abbreviation of Great Plains Laboratory, so it's GPL, mm-hmm. 4U, the number 4, the letter U, .com. GPL4U.
And that's exactly what it
that's,
is.
I was the maker of that.
You were the creator of that. Well, we have to thank you so much for all the families that you've helped and continue to help, because I see it in my practice every single day. And without that, so many children would not be achieving their potential. And that's really why I came to London to meet you, because, mm-hmm. and I know it's been noisy here today and you have a course going on and we haven't been able to control the noise. So I really hope that everyone has been able to pick up of the amazing information that you're giving, and that they can follow up if they have concerns about their child.
And so the point you made is extreme. So in addition, to the idea of not focusing on the label, the parents unfortunately should also learn to trust their gut instinct.
Yes.
If they think there's something wrong with the child, don't, especially if the child is young, don't be put off by your own physician.
Yes.
Go ahead and seek the help.
Yes.
So many times that I've seen parents, even parents who got testing, the physician, if they're not knowledgeable enough, they can give misinformation, which is why we give these courses that we're doing today, to increase the number of people who are familiar, so that they will give the appropriate help.
to the children that need it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's been great to meet you again, and I look forward to meeting you in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Karen O'Connor podcast. Please visit openingyourmind.com for more information on the work that I do. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to subscribe to ensure that you don't miss out on future podcast episodes. And if you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast. The more ratings and reviews we get, the more people this podcast will reach. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye for now.